What an amazing thing, God, that, Lord, you would become one of us. And Lord, as we take a look at that tonight, I mean, we'd be encouraged. There was never a one like you, Lord. There's none like our God. And Lord, we're here tonight to just say that Lord, we look to you, and Lord, we realize that you are very, very unique. And God, we bow our hearts to you, Lord. And we would ask that tonight you would just speak to each one of us. God, that you would do a work by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. How's everybody doing? Good. We're going to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1 tonight. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and we're going to look tonight at Jesus and how Jesus was different than anyone who has ever lived. You know, many people have tried to make Jesus out just to be a good teacher or to be just one of the prophets. And as we're using the Bible as a historical account, which it is, I believe it is. I believe that the Bible is historically correct. It's amazing how we find, you know, as years go on, and even in our generation, many, many great finds that would happen to line up Scripture with what archaeologists are finding. Many that have come against many things that the Bible has said and about places and things, and you know, and they dig the stuff up, and we just sit back that believe the Bible to be true and said, hey, we told you so. The Bible is correct. The Bible is truth. The Bible is 100% inerrant. It's God's word. It's not man's word. The Bible said that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that means God moved these holy men of God. And that is what we have laying in our laps, which is the Scriptures, which are so very, very powerful if you will allow God's word to come in and take root in your life. And as we take a look at God's word, we need to realize that it is speaking about a person. And the person is Jesus. And there's never been anybody who has walked this earth like Jesus. He stands out among all the leaders of the world through all times. He stands out above all religious leaders and religious people because he rose from the grave. No one else has ever, ever had that claim that they rose from the dead. And that is the belief of the Christian, is that our God actually became a man. Our God died, and 3 days again, he rose again. And that is why the Christian has life, because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that's what we want to take a look at, how Jesus is much different than everyone else. There's never been anybody like him. The first thing we need to take a look at, why is he different? Well, you have to take a look at he was immaculately conceived. That means that, guess what? God was his father. God was Jesus' father. Jesus did not have an earthly father like you and I did. Every person who has ever been born has had an earthly father. You here tonight have had a father. Jesus did not have an earthly father. God was his father. Jesus was not conceived by sexual intercourse, which is how everybody has been born, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus was conceived of by God. Let's look at Matthew 1, 18 tonight. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Underline that in your Bible, would you, tonight? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. think you would too, wouldn't you? Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is an amazing, amazing account before us, because Mary was a virgin. When was the last time you heard of a person who was born of a virgin? It's never happened before. This is the only time in history that a person has been born of a virgin. Mary did not have sexual intercourse with Joseph before Jesus was born. Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit in Mary. It's an amazing thing. So unique? Different? Oh, very unique. Very different than anybody who has ever lived. That is the Jesus that we're talking about here tonight. Point number two. Jesus healed everyone instantly and completely who came to him for healing, as he had power over sickness. We can see that as we take a look at John chapter 9. We can see that he healed people of blindness. Jesus healed people who were completely blind. Paralysis in Mark chapter 2. Jesus healed people who were paralyzed. People who could not walk, who had no function whatsoever, Jesus healed them completely. We also see him heal leprosy in Luke chapter 17. Leprosy was an awful disease that would eat you up from the inside out. It would begin to take, you know, your skin and your flesh would begin to be eaten away. Pretty soon your nose would crush in and your eye sockets would begin to hollow out. And the leprosy all along would just be kind of just wearing at you from the inside, and you would begin to deteriorate. And these people, man, had a horrendous time. They had to be separated from everybody because it was a highly contagious disease. They lived in leper colonies, and nobody touched these people because they were considered unclean. Jesus did. Jesus touched these people. Not only did he touch them, which was against the law, but he actually healed them. He healed people completely of their leprosy. And we see in the Bible that leprosy is a picture of sin, a disease that every single one of us have. We all are being eaten up from the inside out by sin. Sin is eating at us, and until we come to the knowledge of that sin and admit that I'm a sinner, that I've got this thing that is eating me up. It's not addiction, it's not sexuality, it's not this stuff. No, it's not. It's sin. We all have it. We're born sinners. And until we do something about that, we're dying, man. We're dying. And God comes along and he says, you know what, I'm not going to repair you. I'm going to go ahead and make you brand new. And man, if you haven't thought of that, you can walk out of here tonight brand new. This ain't religion we're talking about. Then we get a little desensitized, you know. We hear, we had so much religion. You know what? We're talking here about God healing a man, God healing a woman. That's you tonight. That's me. God healed me. God didn't heal me of addiction and perversion and all this lying and stealing. God healed me of a wicked heart. My heart was wrong. It was rotten. My heart was gone. God comes in and he takes the old heart out and he puts a brand new heart in. See, when God does something, he does it perfectly because he's perfect. So when God comes in and he changes you and makes you brand new. Right? Behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what he's talking about. God wants to make you brand new. That's what he wants to do. He wants to give you life. Before that, we're just dead men walking. Oh, we can breathe. We can look around. But we're dead. We're spiritually dead until Christ comes and takes up reign in our heart. And then after that happens, guess what? Then it's a lifetime of this thing called sanctification. And it's the process that we're all in if we're believers here tonight. Sanctification, that means we're all growing. That means we're all being challenged and corrected, and God's pulling the old stuff out and changing things around and teaching us how to speak and what to listen to and how to treat each other and how to love people and how to be parents and be good employees. That's the work of God. But you must come to him first and receive that new life, that new heart that he's offering. Otherwise, there's going to be no healing take place. And God wants to heal. And God can heal physically, today, mentally and emotionally. I'm amazed at what God has done in my mind. My mind was history. Man, I was gone. 20 years of meth, man, does something to you. God has been healing and changing and rearranging. I'm so grateful that I can hold a sentence and I can talk and I can have interaction with people. Man, I got a joy and I got a smile now that I never ever had. I've got a hope, man. It's an amazing thing that I'm going to spend an eternity with God in heaven. It baffles me. Why? Man, I don't know who I am. Because of what he did. Not because of what I did. It's because of what he did and what he does. And that's what he wants. He wants your heart, people. He wants you, man, to put him, man, in his rightful place. And that's Lord and King tonight. He wants that number one spot. And man, if you can do that, if you can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it means to seek. It means there is a part that we have to have a desire inside us to seek. When you're looking for something, man, you're checking it out. Where can it be? I want it. It's important to me. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what should be important to you. And when you do, then all these things will be added unto you. Let me tell you something. You know what I found in my own life? You know what I found in a lot of people's lives around me? That I seek all the things first. And then you know what? Jesus becomes an addition to all my things. He becomes an addition. Just another addition to all the things that I'm seeking in life. And I get it backwards. And that's why I'm never, ever blessed or satisfied because of that. Tonight, we need to start doing things correctly. Start following Scripture. The Bible says to submit to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Years and years, I tried to resist the devil without submitting to God. Fell flat on my face over and over again. I couldn't understand why. Why do I keep falling? Why do I keep failing? Why can't I get over this addiction? Why can't I get over this mind stuff, man? Why can't I get over? Well, guess what? Because I'm not following Scripture. God said, submit to me. Submit. That means put yourself under the authority of God, get him in his rightful place, and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I don't have no problem anymore with the devil no more, man. Guess what, man? I know where I stand today. I bow my heart, I bow my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and guess what? He takes care of the devil. He takes care of that stuff. As long as I'm aware of my surroundings and going with what's going on, I'm not going to get sucker punched no more. Because I'm a soldier. I'm looking around. I know my enemy. I know my God. I know what victory is. I know where victory is found. You understand? If you don't know where victory is found, man, you ain't going to get it. There's victory in Jesus. That's what we're talking about here tonight. No one's been like Jesus. Tonight he wants to heal. He wants to heal you of deafness. You know, he healed people of deafness in Mark chapter 7. People who could not hear. And Jesus healed them. You know, I can relate to this. I'm going a little deaf myself, man. A lot of loud music.
Got a lot of amperage going in my little minivan, subs, and I like it loud, man. Because of it, pound on my eardrum, I'm a little deaf. My wife said, why are you always saying what? Well, I'm deaf. Like loud music. It's the way I roll. Love music. You know what this is talking about, a deafness here tonight? Maybe it's a little different. Maybe, you know what, maybe we have been a little bit spiritually deaf. And we haven't been willing to listen to what God is speaking. Are we going to listen to the voice of God tonight? Let him who have ears hear. We need to hear. We need to get this stuff out of here, man. Because there's all kinds of voices out there. There's all kinds of voices in the world that are telling us, do this, do that. Come partake of this, come partake of that. And a lot of times, man, we're like a fish. Sure. Is the Lord leading and guiding and directing? You know, the way I look at this is, would the Lord approve of this that I'm involved with? Would the Lord approve of my decision making today, what I've done, where I've been, what I've looked at, what I've listened to, what I've spoken? Would the Lord approve? And that's the question you have to ask. Or are you, speak to me, Lord. I'm waiting. But yet we've got our hands over our ears. God wants to heal that tonight. He wants us to be those that would be good listeners. A good listener listens, receives wisdom, and applies it to their life. It changes them. They don't listen to the voice in the world any longer. They don't listen to the voice of their flesh any longer, because it's opposed to God. God's voice, his word. Are we going to be those that are doers of the word, or are we just going to continue to be hearers only? And therefore, deceiving yourselves. So a person who takes in the word of God and just listens and listens and listens, yeah, that sounds real good. It sounds good. Awesome, man. Cool, man. But you know what? There's really no change that takes place in the heart. Something has to happen. Something has to come from the pages of Scripture. So, I don't know how it all works. I just know this, because this is what we have to offer here in the ministry of U-Turn Christ. Nothing else. We've got a relationship with Christ working through his word. All I know is that the pages of Scripture need to leap off there and come into your heart, and they need to provide a change. That's the change that God is looking for. Are you going to listen to what he says? Will you obey me? Will you submit to me? Am I important to you? If I am, then do what I say. Do what I say. And quit being led by your own feelings and your flesh. You're never going to get where God wants you. And it's amazing. A group of like us ought to understand that real well. It's not hard for me to figure that out. My decision making has been very bad. That's how I ended up at U-Turn for Christ, for all the decisions. But now today, guess what God says? I want you to begin to make good decisions based upon what I tell you to do. And if you can do this, it will start to change. Your life will begin to turn around from that awful whirlwind that it was. And it has. And it begins to change it. It just baffles you. Go, whoa! Man, God, you still do heal people of deafness. You still do heal people who are paralyzed. People, man, who had a disease that was eating them up and it was gonna kill them. It was going to take their life, but God says, no, got a better plan. You know, Jesus healed so many people. And he's still in that work today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's not off taking vacation. He's here tonight. He's here to meet needs. He wants to do that work in us. That's good news, people. That's why we're here, man. He wants to do this work in us tonight. He's got things that he is desiring to do in us. I'm going to let you know, it ain't anything, excuse my English language, it isn't anything, right? Ain't a word. Okay, it isn't, right? But you know what keeps us from it? One thing, ourselves. We're the only thing. We are the only thing that keeps the work of God from going on. That's it. We're the only thing that stands in the place between us and God doing a radical work. I am my greatest enemy. Honestly. And once I realize that, then I will begin to walk in truth, right? Because truth tells me, apart from me, Steve, you could do nothing. In and of yourself, man, left to yourself, Steve, you will disintegrate. You will self-destruct. You will blow it. And I don't try to think, no, not this time. It's going to be different this time. Right? Oh, I tell you, if that's not the one thing that got me over and over again, is somehow or another in my mind thinking, you know what, it's going to be different this time. I had to learn that lesson over and over. I got beat down so many times. I mean, I'm telling you what, man, I have had the... Satan has just knocked the tar out of me for many years. God says, you had enough. Quit thinking you got it all. It's going to be different this time, because it's not. The only way it's going to be different is if you give me your whole life. You give me 100%, Steve. Oh, yeah, you've given me 60 before. You've given me 80. Yeah, you've even given me 90. But you know what? I'm not looking for 90, Steve. I have a hard time working with 90, bro. That 10, man, gets you all messed up, because the 10% is the stuff that gets you way whacked out, bro. And I need to realize that. That's why God wants 100% here tonight. God's not asking for any less. If we can get real here tonight and start saying, guess what, I'm tired. I'm tired of having it my way. Man, Burger King, man, I'll tell you what, man, they're saying done put me under, man. I don't need no Burger King. I need it his way, because it's the only way. Because he's the only one that could pull this off and give me life. It's an amazing thing. This is the Jesus we're talking about. Third, Jesus cast out demons to all who came to him. You know, many came to him demon-possessed. And what do we see? We see he healed them. There's been too many of those in Scripture to account. He had all kinds of people who were demon-possessed that he healed. Fourth, Jesus raised people from the dead. Wow! When's the last time you met somebody raised somebody from the dead? Honestly. Well, take a look around you. For us that know Jesus Christ, he has raised us from the dead. He's still raising people from the dead. Are you going to let him? You going to let him go ahead and put you out of misery once and for all? Right? That means you must come to a point of dying so that he can live. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, how do I live it? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I love that verse, my life verse for many years. Galatians 2:20, memorize it. You have to come to a point of death. That's our problem is, you know what? We don't want to die, man. Dying, like, no, not death. I want to live. No, man, if your flesh can get to a point of being totally crucified, the Spirit of God can come alive in you. And man, when you begin to walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Galatians 5:16, I believe. Begin to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh any longer. Don't profit anything. We see that he raised Jairus' daughter in Luke 8. He was a ruler of the synagogue. We see he raised Lazarus, a good friend of his, in John 11. We also see that Jesus had power over the forces of nature. I wish he had you know, did something today with the heat. I'm a little hot, you know. It's a humdinger. Lord, can you cool it down a little bit? He's going, hey, you know what? It can get a lot hotter, buddy. Believe me, where you're going, it's air conditioned. It's cool. You know what I mean? So the forces of nature. He walked on water in Matthew 14:25. He calmed the wind by his word. The word of God is very powerful, isn't it? I mean, he talks to the, you know, wind, be still. Now, it's not some little big, huge wind, tornado kind of stuff, you know. Made people go, wow, the disciples are going, what just happened there, huh? I think of God's word, you know, when I think of in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first, if you can get past the first sentence in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, the rest is all downhill. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. How did he create it? We're creators, man. We build stuff out of nails and wood, and, you know, we like to use plaster and mud, and, you know, it's been through the years. Things have been built in different ways, and we build stuff out of steel and glass, and we got everything. God spoke it into existence. Do you understand how powerful God's word is now? Okay, he didn't have to muster up anything. He simply spoke it. I know, you're baffled, so am I. But I believe it. That's the God we serve. God's word, powerful. He can create something out of nothing. He can create something not only out of nothing in your life, but he can also take all the somethings that you have messed up, and he can make them very beautiful. He can make beauty from ashes. He can give you joy where there's mourning. He can take your attitude and adjust it and give you things like peace and joy, gentleness out, kindness. He can give you things that you can't go down to Walmart and buy if you'll let him. Come in, take possession of it. When you're in Word Fast tonight and you're reading God's Word, wherever God takes you tonight, wherever you're at, slow down and ask God, will you allow this to become living to me? Will you impart this into my very soul? Will you let it become a part of me? I think it's a lot better to read God's Word and maybe grab hold of a little teeny bit and really take possession of it than to read through the whole Bible. I've read through the Bible numbers of times. I'm going through the Bible again. I start when I get to the end, I start over again. I got the Old Testament going, New Testament. I kind of keep them both going. So I do. But I'm going to tell you right now that, you know, I don't read for, like I used to read 5 chapters. And I had a lot of time on my hand, you know. I was in a place where they gave you lots of time. But I used to read 5 chapters. I don't read. I read very little bit now. But you know what I want to do? I want to walk away and I want to know what I'm reading, man. Am I taking possession of it? Do I really believe it? Am I allowing God to let it take root in my life? It takes me a long time to get through the Bible. Let me tell you something. I used to be able to do it in a year. Now it takes me a couple years. I'm not reading to try to get to the end. I'm reading because I need to be changed. And that's how God changes us, people, by his word. That's why we're having Bible study here tonight. We want to get into God's word. If you can somehow or another, you know what? Get rid of the doubt. Get rid of, man, all the preconceived notions you've been fed, man. If it ain't in Scripture, you don't need to worry about it. If it is in Scripture, you better worry about it. Don't worry about all the stuff that comes at you from religion and man and all this stuff. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. That's what the Scriptures teach. That's why the Scriptures are what we need to be looking at. Not the philosophies of man or whatever they might be. We also see that Jesus calmed the waves of the sea. He multiplied fish, loaves of bread in order to feed 4,000 people. A few fish. Man, how big were these fish? I mean, to feed 4,000 people, what size were the loaves of these bread, right? Well, the Bible said, I think so we would understand how small they were. They were a little kid's lunch. Mom had packed up that son's lunch in the morning. He's telling Mom, I'm going to see Jesus. Jesus is over here speaking. I'm going to go and hear him. She makes him up this little lunch, not knowing she was going to be making lunch for 4,000 or 5,000 people. Amazing, huh? Whenever you see the record there, keep in mind that they only recorded the men. So if it said 3,000, it was probably 4,000 or 5,000. If it was 5,000, it was more like 7,000. Seriously, because they didn't record the women or the children. It really happened, people. Jesus, man, multiplied the loaves and fishes. Let me tell you something right now. Do you realize that Jesus can multiply what you have too? I've seen this in my very life personally. I've seen this in the life of the ministry. I've seen it where Jesus takes a little teeny bit, and as I just be faithful in a little teeny things, God can multiply it, and he'll make it go ahead and blow your mind. He'll do it in your life spiritually. He'll do it emotionally. He'll do it in the relationships that you've hurt. I'm telling you, I've seen God multiply relationships that I've damaged over the years because of my sin. I've seen God do it in my finances. I see him do it in his ministry. The reason this ministry is still here, it's amazing, because loaves and fishes, man, were how we supplied the very first years of this ministry. And God was always faithful. It blew my mind. You got a gas bill every month for $2,000. It's crazy. Used to not know how it was going to happen. And somehow or another, God would always make sure that we got forth to church. We got to work. We got where we needed to be. It's amazing. He says, I will supply all of your need. I will supply all of your need. He didn't say wants. Now, let me tell you something about that, because God gives us a lot of our wants. God keeps us from a lot of our wants because he knows they'll destroy us, and they know they're not going to be good for us. So some of the things God don't give you, well, I'm praying about this, and God didn't give you. Well, God's saving you. He knows what you need. He knows what you don't need. But he only promised to meet all of your need. What's your need here tonight? Are you going to let God meet it, or are you going to doubt? No, my need's too big. You got a God who owns a cow and 1,000 hills, holds the universe in the span of his hand. That's right here, okay? By the way, I've got a pretty big hand, don't he? That's where he holds the universe. And we're not talking about small little G God here, okay? We're talking about big, huge G God, you know? That guy, G. The one that man spoke the universe into existence, that God, okay? He's the one that will meet your need. What's your need here? Come to him. Check it out. Come and lay it out, man, for him. Seriously, you need a healing tonight? Have you messed some stuff up? You got relationships that are all messed up because you burned everybody and burned every bridge? Welcome to the club. God wants to heal those relationships. God is all about restoring relationships. He wants to restore a relationship with him first. Then he starts getting all these together. Kids. People got kids here, man. You know, God wants to make you, man, the best father you could possibly be, or the good, best mother you could possibly be. Perhaps you don't know. They're already grown up. So is my daughter. My daughter's like 26 years old. I had a good time with her, man, this month, you know? Baffled once again at the goodness of God. It's never too late. If you got today, it's okay. Make the most of it, man. Let God do that work in you. Why are you going to keep, man, walking in doubt and walking your own way, doing what you want to do? Wonder why life, man, is a bummer? God gives you an offer. Come on, come to me, man. I'll give you rest. I'll make your life something. I'll make it a shining example of my power. I'll put you on display, man, and show off. It's what he means, man, when he says in Ephesians 2:10, and we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Yeah, man, we're his workmanship. That means that Greek word there is poema. We're his work of art put on display for all to see. People look at us and go, what? I know who you were. I know what you did. I know what, man, you were messed up, man. You still are messed up. All of a sudden, God says, yeah. let them take a little closer and they start checking you out. What happened to you? Oh, that's what happened to me. I'm his workmanship. I'm his poem. It's where we get our English word poem. My life now has rhyme and reason, like a good poem. My life song now is sung, and it has harmony. You understand, man? God wants to do that in your life. He wants to get you hitting on all eight cylinders, man. Right, brother? You're working on the lawnmower, man. You got to have them cylinders working right. Otherwise, it's spitting, sputtering, right, Dave? If our vans, man, ain't hitting on the right amount of cylinders, then we ain't going to be able to drive them. That's what happens when things aren't working correctly. They spit and sputter. They backfire. That's how our lives are. But, man, when they're timed correctly, right? Like a good engine. Ooh, sweet, man. Right, man? We can cruise down the road. Yeah, man, this is killer, man. Seriously. How about you? Is that what you want? You want to be rolling or what? I want to be rolling. I don't want to be spitting and sputtering. Man, all spent out, man, driving my little Pinto, man, on the rims. I want to be sporting my 6'4 Impala, man, with the sinking. Man, I got a thing laid back, man, dropped and chopped. And, man, I tell you what, man, that's what I call sick and cruising. You know what I mean? Anyways, Jesus spoke as no other man spoke. Never did anyone speak like Jesus. His claims were incredible. He claimed pre-existence as God, that he was the I Am of the Old Testament. What did he do when he was questioned by Pilate? Listen to this, Luke 22:70. I'll go through these quickly for the sake of time. Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." Jesus claimed to be the Yahweh of the Old Testament. John 14:8-9. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus claimed to be equal with God. Anybody who says Jesus did not claim to be God has not read the Bible. John 10:30-33. Listen to this. Anybody tries to tell you Jesus said he wasn't God, right here. Verse number 30, John chapter 10. "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Why did they take up stones to stone him? Because they knew he was claiming to be God. That's why stoning in that day wasn't smoking weed, man. It meant they were picking up rocks to kill him. That's what they were doing. Because he claimed to be God. And they said he wasn't. Verse 32 there says, Jesus answered them, said, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" Then the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." They knew exactly what he was saying. Do we? Do we know what he was saying? Jesus claimed he is the only way to get to the Father. You know this verse quite well. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus also claimed to forgive men of their sins, and he got in a lot of trouble for that. You can find that in Matthew 9:2, Mark 2:5, Luke 5:20. Jesus also claimed to have authority over death. Do you know that? Authority over life and death. When's the last time anybody claimed to have authority over life and death? Listen to Jesus. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Jesus claimed to be the judge over mankind. You know, one day you'll stand and be judged by Jesus. John 5:22-23. "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Now, there's two different judgments in the Bible. Out of time, but I'm going to go ahead and share them with you real quick. For the person who does not know the Lord, the person who has not committed their life to Jesus, not given their heart to Jesus, they will stand at the great white throne judgment. and they will be separated from God for an eternity. For the believer, the person who has given their life to the Lord, we stand at a different judgment seat, but we do stand, and we will be judged by the good that we have done, by what we have done with Jesus and what he has committed to us. Do you see the importance of getting real and getting serious about winning people for the Lord? Because someday we are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, called the Bema Seat of Christ. And let me ask you this. What's going to make it into heaven with you is not going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Anything that was not done for the Lord with the right motive, with the right heart, the Lord did not call you to do it, it's going to burn up, people. It's all going to burn. The only thing that's going to really make a difference is those things that we did for the Lord. Let's go ahead and do one last verse here. Now, everybody turn to Revelation 5:13. We'll end here. If I could get the prayer team to start coming up forward here, women to the back, guys to the front. Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honoring, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and the Lamb, and to the Lamb forever and ever. I want to ask you a question here tonight. I don't know where you stand spiritually. I know some of you I don't know. I don't know where. You can't look at my heart and see where I stand with the Lord, and I can't look at yours. But guess what? If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ yet, can I just ask you a question? Why not? Why not? It doesn't make a bit of sense in the world to turn down eternal life. You say, well, I'm not making a choice. How am I turning it down? You're making a choice by saying, no, I'll do it later. By saying no, you are making up your mind to say no to God's offer of life. Remember, God said it's for by grace you've been saved through faith, right? That means, in other words, you need to come through the Lord. It's his grace alone, by faith alone. Are you going to exercise the faith that God has given to every man? You have the ability to choose here today. You can choose life or you can choose death. Now, I'm sure you're just like me. You've made plenty of choices and you said no enough times. Well, guess what? About 10 years ago, I said yes. And I just ask you to think about that tonight, because it's very simple. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner. Admit you miss a mark. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that God has raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. That means that, guess what? You're saying, I'm a sinner, and God, I accept the sacrifice that you require. And it's a blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ had to die. His blood is what gives us life. His sacrifice is how we're saved. What he did on the cross, not what we do. We just have to respond to it. You don't respond to it, guess what? Then God's going to call you into account someday. I don't try to scare anybody. I just can only give you the facts. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you come forward here and these guys can lead you in a simple prayer tonight, and you can walk out of here with all your sins forgiven, with a brand new start, and you can leave the past behind, all the junk and everything, and God can begin to start a work in your life that I guarantee you you'll never, ever regret. Okay? Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for God, how you work, God, through your word. Lord, we pray, God, that you would begin, Lord, to just show us where we stand, even right now where we sit. Lord God, that we would be assured tonight that, Lord, if we were to die tonight, that we would go to be with you. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't have that assurance, I would just pray that they would even come forward tonight and simply allow us to lead them in a prayer. Nothing religious, nothing weird, a simple prayer of confessing our sins before you and committing our life to you. Lord, for us that know you, God, we have many, many prayer needs. Lord, we have many issues. We have many needs. Lord, we're praying, God, that, Lord, you would allow us to know the importance of prayer so that, God, we might be able to be a strong people praying for one another. Lord, allow us, God, to get up and watch you work. Lord, you work mightily through prayer. I pray that You Turn for Christ would be a praying ministry. Lord God, that we would not neglect prayer. And God, we give you this time here, Lord, just to give us something tonight to maybe spur us on to good works. Something maybe we're wanting to give up. Maybe we're wanting to quit. And Lord, you could give us a little extra strength. As we sung earlier, strength will rise. Strength will rise from the Lord. Lord, that's what we need. You to give us strength here tonight. For others, Lord, they're at a place where they need to make decisions. Big decisions are being made in their life that are going to dictate whether they're going to be able to continue to have an abundant life or whether they'll have to stumble and fall. Lord, we don't know what can happen when that happens. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I pray, God, that every decision that everyone in here makes is a decision that you have led them to, not their flesh. We've had enough devastation in our lives already. We need to start making decisions based upon what you would have us do. Lord, help us to be that kind of people. Lord, I pray a blessing upon everybody here. Lord, send them out with joy, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.